Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
You're very welcome back to Lunchtime Live. Anna Daly in for Andrea, and it's time for Ask the Medic. Dr. Niall Breen has joined me in studio this afternoon. Hi, Niall.
Hi, how are things?
How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Yeah.
Gorgeous sunshine outside.
Yep, weather's fab.
We're soaking it up.
Yeah, everyone's in good form.
And very little traffic around, which is nice, you were just saying.
Yeah, no, it's quiet on the roads, which is good. For now, anyway.
For now, exactly. Okay, let's get to the questions, Niall. Would you ask the doctor, I am on Prolia injection for osteoporosis for the last 4 years. Is there an alternative? Is there side effects if taken without a break?
So that's a good question. So Prolia is an injection people get every 6 months if they have osteoporosis. And there are loads of alternatives, mainly oral medication. The only issue with the oral medication really is it's once a week.
Okay.
So it is one that people occasionally forget. It also, in very, very rare cases with the oral medication, there can be dental side effects. Now, it's super rare, but it can happen. And also, it can cause quite bad reflux. So when somebody takes the oral medicine instead of Prolia, they need to take it with plenty of water, kind of mid-morning, and stay up and about for a while afterwards. The handy thing about the injection is they come into us and we administer it. And I'm not joking when I say it is the smallest needle. Like, people don't even feel it. And that's done for 6 months then. They don't have to worry about getting prescriptions or bringing medications with them. So I suppose I would wonder why the person is looking for an alternative.
Yeah, they don't say.
Are there side effects? If you stop taking it, then you don't get the, you don't maintain the bone protection. And if you fall, you're more likely to break a hip or a vertebral bone or something like that.
Okay.
You don't have any symptoms from osteoporosis. So if the person stops taking it, they won't notice anything. It's a bit like driving without a seatbelt. You won't notice anything until you're in a crash.
Okay.
Most of the time.
Okay.
But there are
just
alternatives.
Just exploring options, I guess.
Yeah, you know? It sounds like it. There is a maximum length of time you can stay on it. I think it's around 7 years, depending. Everyone needs an individual risk assessment for that. So it would depend on the person's age. But it's a highly effective medication as well.
Okay, great advice. Female, 52 years of age. I've had the Marina Coil in for almost 4 years and have been using Estrogel for 1.5 years. I feel that since I've had the coil, I've gained about 20 pounds. I'm fit and active and have never had weight problems before. The weight seems to be mainly around my tummy area. Could this weight gain be due to the coil? Would you recommend an alternative to the coil and Estrogel and that wouldn't affect my weight? It's starting to really get me down.
That's very unfortunate for that poor person. So I suppose, generally speaking, if somebody has not had their womb removed and they're taking hormone replacement therapy, they absolutely have to be on progesterone as well as estrogen. Because if you're not on progesterone and you're taking the estrogen, that causes the lining of the womb to develop and develop and develop. And it increases quite significantly your risk of getting cancer of the womb. So whatever this person does, don't stop anything without getting medical advice.
Okay. And the coil is delivering that progesterone.
It is. So the coil, for people who don't know, is a device that's put into the womb and it stays there for about 5 years. It acts as a contraceptive, but it also delivers progesterone locally. So it's extremely convenient for people that they don't have to take an extra progesterone supplement when they're on HRT. So for most medics, like, provided the person is tolerating it fine, the coil is probably the best way of delivering the progesterone in many ways, because we know it's happening. Again, it goes in and it stays in for at least 5 years. So for people who have busy lifestyles and schedules and young families and busy jobs, they don't actually have to worry too much about constantly refilling a prescription for that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the progesterone tablet instead of the coil, again, it's a little bit messier. Ultimately, it's up to the person. 20 pounds from being on the Mirena coil would be rare.
I was going to say to you, is it known that there's a side effect of weight gain to the Mirena coil?
I think over 4 or 5 years, you might be looking at a couple of kilos.
Okay.
That's when you extrapolate out the data. So this person might be a little bit of an outlier. I don't know. But I think I would probably do a kind of a 360 on everything. Like, 20 pounds is a lot. It's a stone and a half. I wouldn't necessarily put that down to the coil. I definitely would think a bit laterally there.
Okay. My doctor advised that I switch from Yasmin to Yasmin L, but I feel my moods have been affected since. Could this be true? I've done 4 months of Yasmin L, but now want to go back to Yasmin. Can I do this or should I take a break altogether off the pill? I'm currently not seeing anyone, so feel like I'm pumping my body with hormones when I don't need it as a contraceptive method at the moment.
Okay, that's an interesting query.
So this is one pill to a different pill.
That's correct, okay. Yeah. So there's a few queries in there. So Yasminel to Yasmin means that you're getting a pill with a lower estrogen dose. And we sometimes do that if we want to. So if you're taking the pill, there is a risk of getting a DVT, which is a deep vein thrombosis, or a clot in your lung. We know that being on the pill very, very, very slightly increases that risk, very slightly. So dropping from Yasmin to Yasminel means that that person's doctor reduced the estrogen dose, potentially to reduce that risk. I'm not sure. I don't know the exact reason.
Okay.
It can happen that people's moods can be affected. Definitely. Patients would say that all the time when they're swapping pills. So that is possible. And if they want to go back on the Yasmin, I'd maybe revisit it with their own doctor as to why the change was made in the first place. Taking a break altogether from the pill, again, it depends on the person. If you think about it, most people, the conventional way they take the pill is they take it for 3 weeks, then they take a week's break. So you're taking a week's break every month. And the dose of hormone that you're getting isn't a huge dose. So the person mentioned about pumping themselves with hormones. I can kind of understand where they're coming from, but it's a very, very safe
dose.
They
feel like they are, but they're not really. Yeah.
I would say that's probably a fair summation. In regards to not needing a contraception at the moment, again, that's totally fine. It's a good reason to stop the pill. But the warning I always give people in that instance is that if you do stop the pill, your fertility comes back very quickly in most cases.
Okay.
So just to
be very
careful.
So that's something to watch. Yeah, be
definitely,
very careful.
Yes, there are all sorts of old wives' tales and stuff on social media saying, well, you can't get pregnant at this stage and that stage and so on. I just would ignore all that and just assume that you're like most people and that your fertility returns in that instance.
Okay, good advice. My son got sunburned yesterday. He's 2. I feel so guilty. Put on aloe vera and think it's going down. Anything I need to watch out for?
I feel sorry for that poor parent. It's very hard to
feeling
to do
so guilty
things
about it.
Yeah, it's hard to do things perfectly. And sure, you might have a great regime and then a child will turn the hose on themselves and rinse it off. And that's just the way it goes. Well, definitely keep the moisturiser going and maybe think of Calpol and Nurofen as well, just in case they have a bit of a temperature or they're in a bit of pain. And no, other than that, I think, look, I would say just don't feel guilty. These things happen. And just keep the moisturiser going. And just, again, keep an eye on their temperature and their pain levels. They don't have to have a temperature to get Calpol or Nurofen. It'll also help. Not only does it bring down temperature, it brings down pain. So just to keep an eye out for that as well.
Yeah. I've noticed recently my breath is terrible. Have tried mouthwashes. Anything I can do? 50-year-old male.
Yeah, this comes up in the slot regularly enough. And it's a tricky one because it's all kind of the boring advice for most people. So if you smoke, try to stop smoking. Look at your diet, things like onions and garlic and stuff like that. Make sure that you have really good oral hygiene. Make sure that you have really good dental hygiene. Consider using a mouthwash or considering using a pharmacy-only mouthwash.
What do you mean by a pharmacy-only mouthwash?
You can buy some in the pharmacy that are a bit more expensive, but they have extra stuff in them that kind of helps with your breath. So I can't just think of the name of it off the top of my head now,
okay,
but they certainly will be able to direct you. It's a very embarrassing thing, and it's something that people bring to the table.
Make you so self-conscious as well.
Yeah, it would. I think one thing people don't do sometimes is they don't maybe floss as much. So that's another thing that can help. It's also worth getting a dental check, because one thing that can happen, now it tends to happen in younger people, is that food can get it lodged in behind tonsils if people have very large tonsils. So it might be worth just getting a check as well. Make sure there isn't like a sore or something in your mouth that's actually causing a bit of odour. But
And is that a dental check or a GP check?
I think a dental check more so.
Okay.
I think if you're in with your doctor, your GP, they'll certainly have a look for you, but it's more of a dental check really would be more the area of specialty there for that part of it.
What's the best way to treat ingrown hair as a result of shaving on my lower body?
That's a good question. I think it can be quite problematic for people. It depends how they epilate, if they use creams or if they shave or if they wax. And ingrowing hairs sometimes, like, it often isn't a medical thing, really. It can be like various exfoliating treatments and things like that can be much more beneficial. If an ingrowing hair, like if that person means that it has become a cyst or a sebaceous cyst, the only real way to treat that is surgical excision. Now, again, it depends where it is. Sometimes I'll have patients with cysts and it won't cause them any bother and it's not in an area that's cosmetically embarrassing. We just tend to leave it alone. But other times we do. So if it is something that's at risk of developing into something, getting it removed might be the best option, surgically that is.
Okay, depending on the level, but start with the exfoliator maybe if it's not at that extreme level yet.
I think so. I mean, that person may have already done that, but yeah, that's what I would start with.
Okay, we'll do one more quick question. I think I have celiac, but my GP doesn't agree even though I have symptoms. Did an assessment over the weekend and it said go to the GP.
Okay, so the definitive way, so your GP has probably done a blood test and you can sometimes get a false negative on that if you've excluded gluten before you do the blood test.
Okay.
So I would eat gluten, maybe redo the test. If there's still kind of a disagreement, you can get seen by a gastroenterologist. They need to do a thing called a D2 biopsy through a gastroscopy, which is a camera into the stomach. So that would be the definitive answer. But yeah, so that's the route I would go down, I think.
Brilliant. An eclectic mix of questions there for you, Niall.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much, as always. That's Dr. Niall Breen answering all of your medical questions today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday. On News Talk, conversation that counts.